Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's good to be back this Sunday. Appreciate the ones filling in while we're away. Let's all stand. It's time to get started. Favorite gospel songs, 195. All three verses. Favorite gospel songs, 195. Please stand if you can. Beautiful singing this morning. Turn over to page 36 for our next song. Page 36, where the milk and honey flows.
Good to see everybody back with us today. We're So thankful to have the opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord. Many of you have been traveling with us and were away from us the last week or so, and we are glad to have y'all back. Brother Brad, we're glad to have him back singing. Brother Trey done a good job leading last week, but we are so thankful to have everybody back with us today. We have several visitors with us again today, and we thank you for being here this morning. And I hope and pray that you will make yourselves right at home with us today in this service, that we can serve the Lord together today in this service. This morning, it kind of hit me in a little different way in my prayer. And basically what I said was, Lord, it's a privilege just to serve you. And we should look at it that way. He is a great God. We can't argue with that fact, can we? He is a great God, and he could have chose someone a lot better than me to serve him. Brother Stewart got into that in our lesson this morning, and I do consider it a privilege today to be able to serve a great God like we have today. And I hope and pray today that we'll all just try to be about God's business in this service. If Lord gives you something that you need to do in this service, whether it's request a song or pray a special prayer or do something like that, maybe even just tell your testimony, I want you to follow the Lord in this service that it might be what God would have it to be in this day. We're glad to be here today. We want to move right along with our service today. Brother Sam will be doing our children's church this morning, and we'll turn the service over to him at this time. Brother Sam.
Here we go. Looking good. Looking good. Looking good. All right. And y'all are a fine-looking group this morning.
Yes, sir.
Everybody through with vacation? Back to school tomorrow? You don't like that? You don't want to go to school tomorrow. You wish every day could be vacation? Why is that? Why do we like vacation more than school? Because on vacation, we don't necessarily have to get up and get dressed and go to sit and listen in class. But you'll be thankful one day that you went to school. Good to see everybody. I'm glad you made it back this week. I missed y'all that were absent. I understand. Is it true that y'all been studying in the old Bible lately? Back in the back? Yes? No? What book have you been studying? Who's their teacher? Judges? Is that right? Okay. Judges. Is that true? It's not true? Well, what is it then, Hope? Speak up. Ruth. Okay. You're studying Ruth now? Did you study Judges before? Okay. Well, let's visit Judges again, okay? Because there's a guy on my mind that's in Judges. Y'all ever heard of Samson? Yeah. So you educate me about Samson, okay? What was peculiar about Samson? Was he weak, Ben? No. He was strong, wasn't he? That's right. He was different, okay? And so he was brought forth in the time. You know, the Lord told his mama, said, this man that you will have, this child, he will be the beginning of the downfall. Oops, are we okay? I must have put somebody to sleep over here with my long preaching. You all right? You good? Okay. Be like Samson and be strong. So the Lord told her, his mama said, listen, he will be the beginning of, you know, Israel will destroy the Philistines because the Philistines were just mean, awful people, okay? And so, you know, the story goes that he took a wife of the Philistines against his mom and dad's wishes. They didn't like that. Say, marry an Israelite, you know, but don't marry a Philistine. And he did. And there was problems with that. And then they deceived him, and the groomsman gave his wife to somebody else, okay? And he got mad. You know what the first thing he did? Anybody tell me what he did? He caught some wild foxes. Y'all know what a fox is? You ever seen a fox? It's a wild animal, right? And he tied coals of fire to their tails and let them loosen their crops. And he burned up all their crops. So that should have been a sign to them. But the story goes on that he finally wound up that after he had been without a wife, you know, and they took him and deceived him again. And he got loose from them after they had captured him. And he took the jawbone of a donkey, and he got rid of a bunch of them. And they still didn't learn. But then he fell in love with another Philistine woman, and she was very mean to him. Do you know what her name was? Delilah. You remember studying about Delilah? And do you know how he got his strength from? From his hair. He didn't shave his hair. That's right. Hey, Ezra, how you doing? I know, he's trying to run away like Samson. But anyway, she deceived him into telling him where he got his strength. Okay? She deceived him into that. And so she made him cut his hair. Well, when he cut his hair, he wasn't strong anymore. Okay? He wasn't strong anymore. Isn't that right? Say yes. That's right. He wasn't strong. Do like this. Do like that when you're preaching. Okay? He wasn't strong anymore. So they captured him, and they did something really mean to him. You know what they did to him? They put out his eyes. They put out his eyes. How awful. How mean do you have to be to take out somebody's eyes, right? That's right. They was really mean. So then they put him in a building, and they put up there in front of him, and they were making fun of him, mocking. But guess what had happened in the meantime? His hair grew back. And they forgot about that. So he told a young man, he said, "Can you put me next to the pillars of this house?" And so, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, in my last act, because I know I'm going to die soon anyway," he said, "give me some strength." And he did. And he pulled down the pillars of the house. And there were several of them there that he destroyed. And what was the glory in that? Well, all those people were not alive to hurt the Israelites, his family, anymore. And it was sad. But he was there for the purpose that he was the start of it. That didn't end it, but that started it, didn't it? Say yes, that's right. Okay, I love the story of Samson because I'm strong like Samson. I don't have any hair, but I'm strong. Anyway, let's stand up, okay? And let's give a salute to Samson. Salute. Give me a salute. Give me a salute. All right, y'all can go. You going to go with me, the choir, or you going to go back yonder? Bye.
Thank you, Brother Sam. I'm thankful that the kids like listening to him. We'll move right along with our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today, and I got word just a few minutes ago that Mama Vern is actually in the hospital at the ER. Her sugar is out of whack, and so prayer was asked to be said for her. So let's do remember Mama Vern in our prayers this morning. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart today? I hope that you'll remember our service today, that it'll be exactly what God wants it to be today. And I asked you to pray that if it's my lot to stand and preach today, that God will help me in this message today. We just want to do what God wants to be done today in this service. Today is our business meeting today, and so after our service today, we'll dismiss, and all that needs to leave can leave, but we will have our business meeting after that, and all the members are asked to stay and be part of that today. With that being said, we want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. We will call on one person. If there's no other prayer request, If not, we'll call on one to start our prayer at this time, and we just ask that you pray today in this service. Brother Tom, if you will, start our prayer, please.
Turn to 220. 220. Really good singing this morning. Let's try one that I don't think we've done here before. Maybe I'm wrong. Page 79. Page 79. Simple song entitled, Hold On, Jesus Will Come.
Thank you.
We'll do one more song this morning. Choir, stand. An old simple hymn. 225. 225.
I'd like to say good morning to everyone and once again, and thankful for our visitors being here today. And I just pray that you will be blessed greatly for being here today. Does anybody have a word on your heart, a word of testimony or anything? As it's been said, it's been 2016 since this has been done. We got a lot of the addresses back several months ago. But we want to put it in booklet form, but we want to make sure that your information is in there. Now, I will say this. We want all the church members in there, but if you visit with us and you haven't joined our church, we'd love to have that information also. So keep that in mind. And if you see the sign-up sheet, put your name on there. Just put that on there. Just say, I haven't joined. Maybe you'll join in the next real soon is what I hope you'll do. And just keep that in mind. I also want to make one more quick announcement. I've been asked to do that. This also, the end of this month is the fifth Sunday. It's what we call it. It's the fifth Sunday of the month. And we always take that day's offering, and it goes toward the debt of the church, what we owe on this building and such. And that'll be coming up at the end of the month. So everybody keep that in mind. And there is a push to try to get our debt wiped out as quickly as possible. And so keep that in mind also. With that being said, we'll get into our message today. If no one has anything on your heart, we're going to take our reading lesson today from the 12th chapter. We're going to just read one verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. The 12th chapter of the book of Romans. That would help a lot if I would do that. We are glad that each and every one is here today. As I said, we're glad to have our visitors today. This message will be mainly at the members of the church. It is our responsibility as church, as members of Murfreesboro Church, to observe these things. We have a lot of new members of this church, and from time to time, it is for a pastor to instruct our young ones as to their duties as a church member. And that's what this message is going to be about today. And we're going to read to you the very first verse of the 12th chapter. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we're going to be talking about the reasonable service today as a church member of Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. If you belong to another Missionary Baptist church, I want you to understand you have an obligation to your church. I heard a preacher say this a few years ago, and I've tried to count it different times, but he made the statement that from the 12th chapter of Romans to the end of the chapter, there is 101 different, and his words was, and I went blank for a second, Christian behaviors that are in from the 12th chapter to the 16th chapter. And these are good behaviors that we as members of the Lord's church need to have. Now, I'm not going to try to preach on all 101. Y'all'd run me off in a hurry, wouldn't you? Because you wouldn't get any lunch or supper. Today we're going to pick one spot, and I want you to understand something. As a pastor of a church, there's certain sermons that a pastor does not like to preach. And this is one of them. It is. This is one of them, especially for me. To give you an idea as to where we're going with this thought today, if you'll turn over there in the 12th chapter to the 8th verse, and I'll read the first two phrases, or I guess you'd say four. And in the 8th verse, he says, and he that exhorteth on exhortation. And then he says, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. As you might understand today, it is for a church member to try to help in the sustaining of the church. I mentioned earlier about the offering that will be taken later in the month, and that will take care, hopefully will lead to the debt being completely gone. In this also, I want you to take a quick look at verse 13, where it says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Out in front of, in our vestibule, I guess is what we call it, there is a large framed covenant. It is a church covenant that this church adopted years ago, and in it, it has the duties of a church member. It was written by man, but it was based upon Scripture. And in that Scripture, it is meant for us, when we join this church, that is a covenant or a, what we'll say, something that we have agreed to follow. Now, there are several different things in there, but we to go along with this, it's mentioned in that church covenant. And in the second paragraph, if you'll go out there and look at it later, if you want to just mark my words, it says, and each one of these things, it says, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God. That's the starting phrase that is at the top, but it goes down through each one of these things. Having been led, as we believe, in the second paragraph toward the end, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, to the expenses of the church, to the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel throughout all nations, is what that church covenant says. So we, as members of the Lord's church, it is our responsibility to contribute. And I'm satisfied that there's somebody that's probably got in their mind, he's wanting a big raise today. That's one of the things that that's one of the reasons I do not like to preach on contributions. But nevertheless, it is important for us to sustain the work of the church. Now, you might say, well, I don't have any extra. I don't have what it takes to give. I will remind you that these United States has what they call an income tax. Each state has their own form of taxes. They have a form of ways of getting money from us that they can take care of the business of America. That's what they do. None of us like to pay taxes. If we really look at what we pay, it's probably around 30-some-odd percent is what I've been told to the United States of America, so that they can take care of the business of this country. Without that money that we pay in, we find that this country would be crippled very quickly. I agree, they spend it wrong most of the time. They do. They spend it wrong. And I'm not going to get into the politics of that matter. But the fact of the matter is, without our contributions to that, we would not be able to live in this country. I myself am glad. I'm proud to be called an American. I'm thankful to be able to live in these United States. It's not what I want it to be, but I realize it's much better than what is out there. Now, one of the things that we may not realize today, we tend to think that our money is something that we have, and it's ours, and we have it. Do you realize the United States of America prints your money? Yes, they provide us with money. Since 1890, they have been printing the current currency that we used. In 1793, I looked this up. The United States, or the colonies as they were calling it at that time, they passed a law where there would be a coinage to where that people might purchase the things that they have. Where did that money come from? It is backed by you and I. Where did that work come from? It comes from us. But what all of this is to make you understand today is the church also has a responsibility to take care of itself. The church has a responsibility to always take care of its own. I'm not going to talk about the ministry today because you paid this preacher way more than what he's worth. I'll say that today. I want you to understand today that the idea that I have today is about the very facts that we are to take care of this church. This church is, it has a lot going on in it. We take care of the church itself, of its members. From time to time, there's people who become, we'll say, sick and need help. We've done that at different times. That money comes from you. That comes from your contributions is where it comes from. Now, the one of the things that I want to bring to your attention today, as we look at this idea of giving, I want you to think of your reasonable service today before God. And I want to use as an example today, and that is what the Scripture gives us today, is to use the Scripture as our example. If you'll look at the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, and you'll look starting with verse 9, I want you to understand today, very first thing is Jesus is our example. You might say, well, did Jesus contribute to the church? Yes, he did. Did he pay taxes? Yes, he did. We'll get into that another time. But did he contribute to the church itself? Listen, in the 9th verse, he said, for we know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Do you understand what he did? He gave all that he had that we might be saved. The finishing up of that verse is that ye through his poverty might be rich today. So Jesus gave all is what he did in that day. He gave more than what I do. He gave his very life. I like to think that I give the very best that I possibly can. And I hope that I meet the standards that God said in my reasonable service. But I want to also say what that I believe that reasonable service is the very minimum that he expects of you. That's reasonable. When I was farming and I hired somebody to work in the fields that day, I did not expect them to be absolutely faster than I was. I tried to outwork anybody that came into my field. Some of them I did. Some of them I didn't. But they gave a reasonable service in that day. When Jesus gave his reasonable service, he gave up all the riches that were there in heaven to come down to this earth and through his poverty that we might be saved. Now, as we look at these things today, I want you to understand God has given us a prosperity today. Would you say that you own your house? Yeah, we do, don't we? Who owned it before we did? Well, that fella over yonder, that couple. Actually, who owned it was God himself. God has all things according to the Scripture. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills is what the psalmist wrote. He owns everything. And like I said about the government printing the money that we use, God gives us all things that we might use for our reasonable service. I want you to see today that God does not expect us to do certain things above others. Read on with us today. Paul says here, after he talks about the example of Jesus, he said, and herein I give an advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, and what it was is to give, but also to be forward a year ago. They was moving forward with what they were giving. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. I want to stop for just a second. There has got to be a readiness to give. That's the will that God is instructing us. He gives us a readiness of mind. Many people today will talk about tithing, and they'll say, well, I give a tithe every Sunday. And I appreciate you doing that. I think that's very good instruction for every one of us to give a tenth of what we earn. I think that's proper according to the Scripture. That was a rule that God had given the children of Israel. And many people will turn around and they will say, that tithe does not, it doesn't apply to us. We're Christians. We're not Jews. I'll ask you a question. When the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery, was that just for Israel or is that for you? It's for us. It's for all of us. But what I want you to understand today is giving is a thing that will bless. I want you to see when that the children of Israel were getting ready to form the tabernacle of God, Moses went to the people of Israel, and what they did, what he said to them, if you have something that you can give to the cause of God, he said, would you please give it unto the Lord? But he said he had an idea for them in that day. And what it said in Exodus, the 36th chapter, and it says while they were starting to form the tabernacle, and they said, there came everyone whose heart stirred him up. I want you to get that thought today. Remember what Paul said, a readiness to will. A readiness, a desire whose heart stirred him up, it said, in that time. And he said, he stirred them up, everyone whose spirit made willing. Willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. They brought it all into the house where that they could do the forming of the tabernacle of God. But it was done out of a willing heart. Yes, the rule was that they give a tithe, but they gave as the heart moved them. I believe there's people here today that have tithed for years. And there's times that their hearts move them and they give of the abundance of their heart, of the abundance that God has shared with them. Now, as we look at this, finishing up verse 11, back in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, so there may be a performance also of that which we have. Excuse me. Verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You might say, well, I don't have any extra for God. I can't put any more in. You see, God allows, if I've got $100, I'm going to use these numbers. If I have $100 that I can put into the offering, the Lord accepts that. But if you've only got 10, the Lord accepts that. But if you've got 1,000, and I doubt many of us do, You give according to the willingness of the heart. That is the heart that God instructs us to help take care of the matters of the church, the expenses of the church, the matters of the poor, the matters of the sick, the matters of the missionaries, wherever they may be. These are the things that we are to take up and be careful in these things. Now, I want to go over one chapter, and because I want you to know that there is joy in giving. You know the story on us Baptists is? They used to tell it when I was younger. My last boss I had, Mr. Bobby, he would talk about giving to the church. And he was not a saved man as far as I know. But he would talk about the giving, and he'd say, "You mean people still give dollar bills?" I said, "We're still dollar Baptists, aren't we?" Now, the old term was about Baptist people was this, that when they was putting the dollar bill into the plate, they squeezed it so hard that they took 90 cents back with them. Now, that's funny, but truthfully, we have people today that are begrudging what they give to a point that they are so afraid to turn loose of what they have that they can't get the joy that God has intended for them. Looking at the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, he says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." Now, that is a reference to sowing a field. If you're going to sow your yard, if you're going to sow a flower bed, we'll say. Miss Mona's been doing a lot of that lately. I've heard her talk about it. And the fact of the matter is, if she goes into that flower bed and she, maybe it's one the size of the altar, we'll say right here, and she puts 3 seeds in that, expecting it to completely cover that, that's sowing sparingly, right? But if she covers it completely, she's sowing out of abundance, expecting an abundance to come up into that garden. Paul said, "He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." Now look at verse 7. And he says, "Every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly." Hanging on. Hanging on. Or of necessity. You know, as I said, most people that give out of a tithe, I shouldn't say most, but I'll say some people who do a tithe, they do it out of necessity. And what I mean by that is they think, well, this is the rule, I've got to give it. This is the rule that I've got to follow. Giving should not be of necessity. Giving to the God's cause should not be a grudge in our hearts. It should be out of love and of charity. And both of them are the same. I shouldn't say that, but we generally think of charity as being a benevolence that we give. But the idea is that we give in such a way that it makes us feel good. Read the rest of that verse. "For God loveth a cheerful giver." My uncle used to say it a lot of times. He said, "Don't give until it hurts, but give until it feels good." That's not an easy thing to do sometimes. It's not easy when you look at the money that you have and you think, well, I don't know that I can pay this bill. I don't know that I can take care of this matter if I give to the Lord. I want to call to your attention the prophet Elijah. During a great drought, he went to a widow woman who had a son, and she was picking up sticks to make a fire and to eat her last meal. And Elijah said, just make me a cake first. And she said, all I have is enough for me and my son, and we're going to eat it and die. That's perilous times, isn't it? It's perilous times when it's like that. But she said, Elijah said, make me a cake first, then you make yourselves the same cake. No, I've often wondered how big was that cake she made for him. She got down there in the bottom of that barrel and she looked in there and she probably took about half of the flour that was in there. Maybe a half a cup or something. Maybe it was a full cup. I don't know. But she took that flour and the little bit of oil that she had and she did like the man of God said and she made it and she brought it to him and she went back to that barrel and there was the flour again. And she made for her and her son. The next day, she went back to the barrel again. She made the prophet of God another cake. And again, herself and her son. And it was there, just like the prophet of God had said. And again, the next day, and the next day, and the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and that went on until the drought was ended in the land. And that was about 3.5 years, probably close to 3 years. They ate of that barrel of flour that was ready to run out. What I'm trying to tell you, God will sustain you. If you'll put your trust in the Lord in these matters, God will help you in these things. What he says, and God is able to make all of grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's verse 8. What is he saying to us? You give of the joy of your heart. You give to that and God will sustain. Now don't be like the man that basically said, well, if, or the little boy, I guess it was in the story, he said, I gave a dollar and my father gave me another one to go along with it, plus another one. And he gave those two and he got four the next time from his father. Don't do it in a way of making a profit, but do it allowing God to bless you. See, this is about God's blessings upon you. How much are you supposed to give? How much are you? I don't require a tithe. Probably our treasurer's probably some preacher, hush. No, she's not. You give until God says it's good. I will remind you of what the Israelites had to do. Yeah, they gave their tithe. But they gave the firstling of everything that they did. The first time that they went into the fields, they gave a portion of that. They gave a tithe of that, actually. If they had a young sheep that had a lamb, they gave that first lamb. You know, I've kind of scratched my head sometimes because I have a use for something. And I think, God, I can hardly do that right now. I remember years ago, and pardon me for using me as an example here. I stood up for a man who was in need. He was on a foreign mission field. And I asked a church to help him. And I didn't remember saying it. But what they helped him. I won't go ahead and say that. But I made the statement it might help me someday. Then I went to Florida. You see, while we were there in Florida, there was... I left a job and I went and took another job making half of what I went. Now, I'm not saying that bragging. But I'll brag on the churches. There was churches that every Sunday or every month, they sent us money to help in the work. Brother Slick back there. He was a deacon in Victory. And those brethren, they got together and they talked to the church. And they said, Brother Hackett, do you have insurance down there? No, sir. We'll pay it for you. Victory Church took care of us. There was other churches that sent us money monthly. Some of them quarterly. One church, a little bitty small church over in DeKalb County, sent us $10 a month. Ever so often, we'd hit a bill. Lord, where's this money going to come from? God would make a way. We are giving to the expenses of the church. We're giving to the relief of the poor. We're spreading the gospel. You might say, well, how are we spreading the gospel? Y'all heard about Belize? Have you heard about Guatemala? Have you heard about the churches over in Africa? Oh, we may not be sending money right now, but this church is spreading the gospel. We send Brother Sam over to the nursing home. We work as God gives us liberty. Y'all see those marks? How many of them did I go to? What I want you to understand is, this message comes from God. He doesn't expect us to give everything we have. He doesn't want us to be like the widow woman that Jesus saw that just put in 2 cents. It's basically what it was. And he said, this woman, he said, all the rest of y'all, you've given of your abundance. She put in 2 cents. And she's given more than you all. She gave all that she had. The Lord is not asking you to give all, but to give what the Lord stirs you up to do for His cause. I'm not talking about the building fund. I'm talking about the cause of God. I'm not talking about paying for this and that. I'm talking about the work of God. Let me go back one more thing. Brother Brad, you can go ahead and get you a song ready. To contribute cheerfully. and regularly to the support of the ministry, to the expenses of the church and the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. When you join this church, that's what you agree to. You agreed to it. You may not have realized you did, but you agreed to it. Bible tells us if we make a vow unto the Lord, we are to keep it. Now, there's a lot more out there on that church covenant that we all need to abide by. And take a good look at it as you leave today. Take a good look at it. Stop. Read it all. It'll take you a few minutes. I'd love to see a good traffic jam right there. Read it and think, what is my reasonable service unto the Lord? That's my message, Brother Brad.
Sing page 65 in favorite gospel songs.